from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I think that's very fair. I think if we found out that Skeletor used to be an all right guy, just another dude, and then one day he got flayed and died, and then a necromancer woke him as a living, dead, immortal skeleton, I think you'd understand why Skeletor was a bit of a butthole.
Yeah, but I don't want to know that. I just let him be the bad guy. I mean, you want to give me a little bit of his backstory, I'm fine. But I don't want to go into detail at seeing Skeletor as a young child, looking up at the stars and dreaming about a future, and then suddenly having his skin flayed off. Nah, I just don't. Nah.
Lonzo just wants to hate.
No.
He just wants to hate.
Sometimes I just want bad guys to be bad guys. I don't want my heel turning into a face. Is there ever a wrestler that you can think of who's always the heel, who has never been a baby face?
Ric Flair. The GOAT.
No. There are times when he's been considered
the
a baby
only
face
time I would
with
say,
baby face tendencies.
The only time I would say he ever threatened baby face was how committed he was to Evolution. That's it. That's the only time I can even think that I would say Ric Flair was even close to being a committed, genuine, true babyface. He was a tweener a few times because he was fighting worse heels, but he was never a babyface.
All right, give me Joker from Dark Knight. I don't need to know really how he got those scars. I don't, okay? He's the bad guy because he's deranged in his brain, and he's just that.
See, I like the concept. This is exactly why the new Joker movie and Joker Part 2 coming out, this is why that movie was so damn successful. Because I really do think in showing, and obviously it's a variant Joker, but obviously in showing why he is the way he is, I think, to me, I mean, art can go different directions. There is absolutely art that I just want to sit back and enjoy it. I just want to sit back and let it be what it is. This is why comic book movies are great. But at the same time, you're a Batman guy. The entire premise of Batman is not what he does as a kick-ass crime-fighting vigilante superhero. The entire thing that makes Batman compelling is why he does it, why he arrived at where he arrived and his philosophies and how he arrived at them. Why not have the same thing with bad guys? Because I think what that does, to me, the best art is art that affects you on a deeper level than surface level. To me, and it's subjective, but art that impacts me on a deeper than surface level is the best kind of art. And so if you show me a bad guy, who's a bad guy? Just genuinely a bad guy. But you actually make me think about why he's a bad guy, and make me, in a weird way, understand it, even if I disagree with him. Those are the best bad guys. And what should happen for those type of movies, in my opinion, ever so humble as it always is, but also very frequently correct, is that when you walk out, you should have some sense of deeper thought about the way that people are treated societally that drives people to make the decisions that they make. Because we are emotional, irrational, illogical apes at our core. And so if you really think about it, how many bad people, not all of them, there's a lot of guys that are just bad people.
All right.
But how many bad guys would not, in real life, would not have been that guy or that gal if maybe we just took care of each other a little better?
All right, this is for a guy who thinks he's Ray but is not Ray. In sports, a bad guy who's always been a bad guy. Bill Laimbeer. Do you want to believe that, you know, he wasn't born a jerk and grew up a jerk and was a jerk punk thug when he was playing for the Pistons? That guy was never a good guy. He was always what he is, and I'm okay with that. I don't think that we need his entire story.
See, I disagree.
Do you want to know Bill Laimbeer's story?
Now I do.
Now I want a Bill Laimbeer documentary. Put it on Netflix, make it 8 episodes, and whichever S of a B is cooking popcorn right now, you're catching these hands after the show.
Well, at least it waited till 9.
Yeah, at least it waited till 9. Yeah, I do. Wouldn't it be interesting to find out that noted Detroit Piston bad boy Bill Laimbeer was like the director of FCA at his high school, and what was it, the soup kitchen every Sunday after church, and on Mondays him and his mom drove Meals for Wheels, and on Tuesdays he was helping with Habitat for Humanity, and on Wednesdays he was doing a mission trip, and like all these wonderful things. And then one day he was on a basketball court just playing a lovely game of round ball because it was his passion and he had a love for it. And some other guy on the other team kicked him in the nards and was like, "You'll never make it here, white boy," and just kicked him in the nads. And then his coach cut him for being weak and being a crybaby. And that was the day that Bill Laimbeer went, "I love basketball, and if ever we're going to make it, I got to become a hole." And that's what maybe you're telling me that doesn't compel you a little bit? That doesn't intrigue you?
That is a story that no one would watch. Because I don't believe that for a second. I don't
believe that's what happened. I'm saying, what if it was? What if what actually happened was Bill Laimbeer was this super genuine, authentic, legitimate, good, wholesome Midwestern fella, right? He said, "Ope," when things went wrong. He didn't go, "Ah." He went, "Ope. Excuse me. Pardon me. Y'all," he said, "sir and ma'am and please and thank you." And he opened doors and he walked little old ladies across the street and he used his gigantic ass frame to pull kittens out of trees for little girls. Like, he's just the best. Like, he's Captain America wholesome growing up. And then one day he gets his butt whipped on the basketball court, and then the coach comes and goes, "You're cut because you're a weak, little, feeble-minded nobody, Bill. Get out of my gym, Bill. You're worthless. You're a nobody." And then all of a sudden...
By the way, he's from Boston, so I doubt that's the accent he heard when he was growing up.
It's not. And also, everybody from Boston is mean. So this whole thing's pointless.
There we go. You thought he was from the Midwest.
Imagine if he was, though. Right? Imagine if he was. You're telling me you wouldn't find that a little compelling. You're telling me you wouldn't find Steve Smith, the biggest bleep talker in the game, a guy that if you weren't a Panther fan, you said that guy because he was that level of a bleep talker. You're telling me you don't want to know the backstory of how he became that guy?
No.
I do.
I don't, because I don't want to know why he broke his own teammate's nose. There's some things I don't... Why he had Cam Newton in fear that if he didn't throw him the ball, he's going to climb up on his head and beat him in the head. No, I don't want to know all that.
I just want to hate the guy.
Right. Sometimes you want to love the good guy and hate the bad guy. Sometimes that's all you want.
Oh, man. Give me complicated sports stories.
I guess I'm just too simple.
Give me complicated, dramatic-ass backstories. Good guys and bad guys. Give them to me. Make my good guys have flaws and my bad guys have redeeming qualities, because that is how the real world works.
Is that guy a bad guy?
Oh, we're coming to JJ. We're coming to Jerry. You know what? Let's just get to Jerry now, because Jerry fits into this a little bit. Jerry fits into this conversation. If you haven't seen this story yet, it's pretty spectacular. Jerry Jones has owned the Dallas Cowboys since 1989. Since 1989, Jerry Jones has also filled the role of team president and general manager. Obviously, in the 90s, JJ put together some good squads, some good dudes. He won a couple of them baddies, but they ain't been back since 1996, and I've done the math. That was many, many moons ago, right? Well, Jerry Jones, they did finish their contract with CeeDee Lamb yesterday, gave him a 4-year deal worth a lot of money, $38 million guaranteed in signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed. He is now the highest paid Dallas Cowboy wide receiver of all time, and it is the third longest contract given to a non-quarterback. CeeDee Lamb got paid. The problem is the Cowboys still got a lot of other business that they got to conclude, and that includes deciding if they want to re-sign Dak Prescott, and if so, getting that contract
done. Well, there's a story about Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones recently told DLLS Sports in an article that they posted on their website, and that was then put out and republished by FoxSports.com. Remember, Fox Sports, an entity that, while I can't say for certain would not, has ridiculously close ties to the NFL. Close enough ties for a lot of enough of money that they wouldn't want to put out something that is untrue and unflattering about the most powerful individual in the NFL. Yes, even more so than Roger Goodell. So, Jerry Jones.
I pushed the wrong one.
Yeah, I know. I figured you did. I was just going to roll on through it. Jerry Jones was talking to DLLS Sports and was asked about his role at 81 years old, was asked about his role, and if he had given any evaluation about whether or not he should continue to serve as the general manager or if he should maybe turn the reins over to somebody that's not 81 to live in a super competitive world. And here's what Jerry Jones had to say. Now, I'm going to do a dramatic reenactment, and I'm going to let you know in advance that is going to get a workout. Here's what Jerry Jones had to say. He said, and I quote, "I've done it all, so I have an inordinate amount of confidence that..." No, man. Okay. Stop. Everybody, reset the set. All right? Get the little clicker thing. Get that ready. Quiet on the set. And action. "I've done it all, so I have an inordinate amount of confidence that if anybody can figure out how to get this done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday and busted my a bunch. There's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times that they busted their..." So hell no, there's nobody that could come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it's up, I gotta cover it. There is nobody else that can do it. Scene. Scene. Except for it wasn't scene. There's more. Sorry, forgot the second half of the quote. Sorry. Reset. Reset, everybody. Run it back. Put the props back in place. We've got we got the second half of the scene. Quiet on the set. And action. "I've had hundreds of bad days. I'm emotional about it sometimes. Running this thing, that's who I want to make the last call. Now, when I can't think, when I'm old and I can't even do it, the reason I don't let somebody else be the GM is because I don't have anybody that I will let do it, actually do it right. And they're going to have to come to me because I know where it is that you're going to pay for it." And hang on, let me make sure there's no one. This is the article. All right, here it goes. There's more. The script, very long script, very long monologue. "I said, guys, y'all never seen a meeting when they had no money, right? We could have a meeting where there wasn't any money. And I said, can any of you imagine not having enough money coming through the doors to pay the overhead? I said, when I walked in this, nobody had enough money coming in. If I didn't give a... If this wasn't fun for me to do or interesting for me to do, whatever you want to call it, the facts are I really would rather be ing around like this. The point is, I love this." Thanks, JJ. Jera, I get it, buddy. I get it. I really do. I understand. I understand what it's like to love to do a thing. But more importantly, because I've been there, I understand what it's like to love to do a thing and have that thing not love you back. I understand what it's like to love to do a thing, to want to do a thing, to believe that you are good at a thing, only to have everything about that thing turn away from you. I get it, my guy, but there's this other thing that you're not considering. And that thing is a ring. That thing is a ring that you haven't seen since 1996. You were not 81 in 1996. Now, I don't know how old you are because I'm real bad at math and I can't do it in my head, but I know it's a lot younger than 81 because in 1996, I was 11. In 6 months, I turn 40. Those numbers are a long way away from each other. So, what's happening here, JJ, is while I appreciate your passion, your fervor, your vigor, your zest, your zeal for the game, the reality here is, bud, you ain't the same guy that you were in 1996. You ain't the same GM. You ain't the same president. You, my man, have to understand that there are people out there better than you at your thing. Listen, even I have an issue with that sometimes. Sometimes I got to remind myself, yeah, dude, you're not the best in the world. I like to pretend that I am. I like to say that I am because it makes me laugh on the radio. And I know people out there hear me say that, and there's two reactions. Half of the people go, oh, Rob, you're so silly. And half of the people go, you, Rob, you suck. And that's fine. That's part of the game, right? See, here's the thing, though. A lot of people, you have the largest fan base in the NFL. A lot of people invest a lot in you, and they would like the return on investment and taking the most profitable and valuable franchise on planet Earth.
All right, I've never understood this about you. Maybe you can explain this to me. You don't like Dallas. Why do you want him to hand it over to someone who might be competent enough to do the job better? Do you want them to win? Because your complaints make it sound like you want them to win, and I thought you didn't like them. And if you don't like them, you should be happy with the situation.
What makes wrestling great?
Everything.
Mm-hmm. But what can wrestling not have? Bad guys. Gotta have bad guys. You gotta have the bad guys. Hey, yo. You gotta have the bad guys. Woo! You gotta have somebody that grabs a mic and says, because without bad guys, ain't no good guys. This is why every year, and I know it frustrates a lot of you, but this is why every year we say college football's better when Notre Dame's in it, when Ohio State's in it, when Alabama's in it, when Georgia's in it, when Texas is in it, when USC is in it. Not because it's better because, yay, go Trojans. It's better because the overwhelming majority of people hate those teams. The majority of Americans hate Ohio State. The majority of Americans hate Alabama. The majority of Americans hate Georgia. The majority of the Americans hate USC. And so when you have something to hate, it makes the other things more fun. The NFL will be more fun when I get to roast Dallas for losing a Super Bowl. And it makes it harder for me to do it and more fun for everybody else when they win a Super Bowl. But if I got an 81-year-old guy who was asked, should you maybe think about handing the reins over, and he goes off on a spree? Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Cole Bryson at that point.
Don't feel bad for that guy. I mean, come on.
I do. Because I don't think Cole Bryson was born in 1996. He's never gotten to feel it. Even I have, and I'm a Saints fan.
He is the child of the station.
Yeah. So he's never gotten to feel it because JJ.
I think he's also Bryce Young's height. I just want to say.
JJ and his big ass ego won't get up out the way. Well, enjoy toiling away in mediocrity, Cowboys fans. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hear the voices in my head. I swear to God, it sounds like the snoring. But if you're bored, then you're boring. The agony and the irony, they're killing me. Yeah! I got Harvey Danger stuck in my head during the break. Zero explanation for it.
If I would have known you were going to continue, I would have tried to find the music.
Zero explanation for it at all. Why that song popped into my head. Haven't heard it in probably 2 years, but there it is.
I do believe you can catch the entire song because he sang the entire song. So, I mean, you know.
Did the guitar shred and everything, man.
The guitar part's still off to me. Sounds like bluegrass.
All right, let's rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen, shall we? Any interest in this great one? The Let's Go podcast, famously hosted by Tom Brady, is no longer hosted by Tom Brady. Brady has been replaced by his old boss, Bill Belichick, alongside current player Max Crosby and future Hall of Famer. Actually, I don't know if he's in yet. Larry Fitzgerald will take over. Crosby, Hoodie, and Fitzy are the new host of the Let's Go Pod.
I thought Fitzgerald was already doing that with him. What did, or they were on a podcast with Jim Gray.
That was the one Brady was on. I don't know if it's the same one or if they had a different one.
Yeah, Fitzgerald was already on that.
Okay.
So, because Brady didn't carry the entire thing. Everything I've seen from Belichick's very entertaining, especially when he's on McAfee. I don't know if you've watched him on McAfee yet, but
seen a couple segments.
Yeah, I mean, the scowl is gone. You know, everything that he did to where he didn't have to talk to people, which was all an act.
Which was everything?
No, it was all an act. And now he doesn't have to do that anymore.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think I understand a guy. I think I understand a guy in a role that comes with as much pressure. We talked earlier in the show about the 7 NFL coaches who have the shortest odds to be canned next. I think it is fair for a guy that lives in a world that is as high pressure as being the coach of an NFL franchise to be a little bit short. I will tell you that I am physically uncomfortable being short with people. It makes me physically uncomfortable.
Well, it's physically impossible for you to be short with people because you're 6'3".
That is a dad joke. Very good.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's a dad joke.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure.
I finally did it?
Yeah, you did it. I'm so proud of you.
I didn't realize
it. Make it down August 27, 2024. Lonzo finally stuck the landing on a good dad joke. I do not like being short with people because I know that when people are short with me, it's not that I take it personally. It's that I blame myself, right? I'm like, oh, what did I do? What I did to take him. Lonzo can attest to this. Every morning he walks into the studio. And there have been days where he walks into the Fortress of Nerditude and he doesn't say anything. Because he's just going about his morning, right? He's got to set stuff down, set up the Fortress of Nerditude, get in here, set up the show, do all the stuff to get it ready to roll. And sometimes he's just in the groove and he doesn't say anything. And I walk in, and what's the first thing I say to Lonzo every time? Every time it happens, I walk in and I say, hey man, are you upset with me for any reason? Did I do something to upset you? And ordinarily, he looks me in the face and goes, no, stupid, shut up. I'm fine. I'm just busy. Right?
Thank you for directly quoting me.
It's literally what he says.
He says,
no, idiot. Everything is fine. I'm just busy. Now leave me alone so I can do more important things than talking to you. And I'm like, yes, sir. I get it. I understand that. I will say, however, that there have been spots when I'm like, I'll be out on remote, right? And we're coming out of a break, and I'm holding the headset, and somebody's talking to me, and I hear the producer roll the music, the hey, come back from break music, And if somebody's saying something to me, I have to go, hey, 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 I'm real sorry. I got to jump back on the air. And I always feel real bad. It's on me, but I always feel real, real bad about it. But
you should not, because people will show up and want to talk to you while you're talking during a remote. And it's like, okay, did you think I'm just sitting here? There's a reason why I'm doing this.
I get it.
This was a thing between Chris and I for a while. He went out for Christmas one year, and I still have it. Got me a glass, a piece of glass that says on air. And if you plug it in, it lights up blue. And I still have it at home. So if we ever go on a remote, I can take it with me so people will understand.
Again, I get it.
On air.
But I think what I'm saying is, in a situation like that, like at least I understand it, right? Because here's the thing. If I sit there and I finish that conversation with that person and I don't get back on the air, I lose my job. Or I don't get sent on remotes anymore. Or I get chastised, right? And I ain't trying to do that either. So I understand hoodie being short. I'm glad you brought up McAfee, though. Because I did want to talk a little bit very briefly about last Friday. McAfee and the fellas were over in Dublin, Ireland, as Pat McAfee, obviously a member of the College Game Day crew permanently now. And while he was there, they were doing their pod, and they were doing so from a pub in Dublin, Ireland. And WWE legend and Dubliner, Sheamus, came by. And Pat and the boys were lit on Guinness drafts. To the point that at one point, Pat said, hey, I'm an honest guy. I got to tell you guys, I am faced right now. And I believe, I haven't seen all of it yet, but I was told he yacked on air or got very close to yacking on air.
He did. And me, being behind the scenes and in front of whatever my roles are on radio, it really would have been hard to produce and keep that show going because everyone around him was struggling because he was the only one that way, and he's the lead of that show. That's one of the – if you want to drink, that's fine. I mean, you're an adult, and if you're not going to get in trouble for it, fine. But have someone around you going, hey, man, that's enough because it's affecting the show, and that's where I had a problem with it. Early on, it was good. It was kind of funny, but then he reached a level where he didn't know what he was doing and he was slurring his words. That becomes a problem from a producer standpoint, from all the things that go around to try to make a show successful. Then you start having a problem because someone else needs to take over and no one there actually could because of the way his show is structured.
I'm going to roll with Mac here and say it was absolutely ridiculously funny and unprofessional, but it was great television. And that's it, because here's the thing.
I wouldn't say great.
I thought it was hilarious.
Of course. Okay. But there are other people. It doesn't mean I'm wrong.
No.
It just means we have different opinions.
Correct. But what I'm saying is this. That just wasn't for you. Okay? It just wasn't for you. And it doesn't. We don't have to cater every show to be a robot block that fits into this where it's good for everybody. There are entire podcasts that are wildly popular that's what it is. It's dudes who get blasted on a microphone and talk about sports, and it's hilarious. There were 9 other shows that were talking college football on that day. There was one where a dude knocked back a bunch of beer and the bros were bros and they broed out, and I thought it was great. Does it suck for the producer? No, and here's why.
No, when to say when.
For you. That's how you elect to live your life.
No, then I'm worried that he has a problem that needs to be taken care of.
And that's fine.
And he's had problems in the past because of this sort of thing.
He's got problems. He's getting paid $100 million a year. Seems like he's doing just fine.
And he can still make mistakes and end up not being alive anymore. There needs to be someone in his life right now going, hey, man, dude, that's enough.
See, this is, and I'm going to say this lovingly, that's the perspective of somebody who doesn't drink. And it's fine to have that perspective. You're allowed to. You're absolutely allowed to.
You can be excessive in a lot of things, not just drinking.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have someone around you saying, hey, man, that's enough.
Absolutely.
Then you're going to keep going till you combust.
But getting drunk does not mean that you have a problem with being a drunk. It's not the same thing. I get drunk. I've never showed up to work here with booze on the breath because I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you on the air if you did.
Correct. So I'm not, that's it. But here's the thing. we don't have the freedom that McAfee. That's McAfee's show. That's why he's getting paid that much, because it worked. I thought it was incredibly entertaining TV, and it was such a break from every other manufactured scripted debate show that I loved it because it was so different. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio.
Can you turn that screen? That is so ugly.
The Rob Brown, the Rob Brown Bro is back on your radio. I'm so here for bro radio. Just bros being bros. And for the record, so we're clear, I use the word bro intentionally because anybody can be a bro. All right? Anybody. Yeah, we're tied up at 1-1. Let's go. Back in the game.
My granddaughter keeps calling my wife bro.
Yeah.
Which
Miss,
is hilarious.
For the record, Miss Lisa's a total bro. And that's a compliment. All right? A bro is the highest of compliments.
She's also taking her Etch-a-Sketch and spelling out Joe Hendry and asking her grandma why she doesn't believe in him.
That's okay. That's really funny. Anybody can be a bro, and being a bro is a good thing. It is a compliment to be a bro. My best friends are bros. My fiance's a bro. Like, it's good to be a bro. That's why it's the bro cave, not the man cave. Because anybody can be a bro. And if you're a bro, you're welcome. Max says, Pat has been a bro. He is just now a well-paid bro, and they should have expected him to be a bro. Yeah, they did. That's why they signed him, because the popularity of Rady Bro has gone through the roof.
You can be a bro without puking on the air. I just think when you reach that point, it's a little gross. All right, it's a lot gross.
Sure, but that is also the reason that there are crazy RTVMA movies, and there are rated G movies, and you get to pick which ones for you.
Wow.
McAfee
wow, you
is
just
the,
implied that I'm rated G, and we know that's not true.
Or PGMA or PG-13 or whatever your little sliding scale of acceptability is.
Why out of the corner of my eye did it look like you were milking a cow? I'm just...
I was doing this. I don't know what kind of cows you're hanging out
or
with.
Or are you going back to the shake weight from earlier?
I regret that a lot. I'm real glad I decided to point the camera away for that. No, I dig, but this is what, like, I am, if that show and what they did last Friday is not for you, it's not for you. But it is okay to give people like us who do like it and do find it funny and aren't having a good time watching it a space in the sports sphere where it's not the same old regurgitated, manufactured, single shot talking heads yelling at each other for an hour every damn block.
I just want to point out that you're implying that I'm that guy, and we both know I'm not. Have you ever seen me do that kind of show? Ever? I'm just a bro guy without the drinking. So, I mean, it's just where everybody else needs that stuff to unwind, then I get to act normal. And you still haven't seen me act like I normally
do. Normal is a setting on Household Appliances.
No. No, it's not.
I promise you.
My normal is your craziest is my normal.
I promise you. Ain't a person in this building that gets to say they're normal. No one in this building is normal.
Maybe someone downstairs?
No.
You don't think
so? No. You're not in this industry if you're normal.
The cleaning crew when they come in, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe someone there.
But they in the building right now.
They're just working hard trying to, you know, make a dollar.
All right, let's get a couple more stories in here before we get up out of here for the day. We did the, this one is very interesting. And I do think it's interesting because it may very well have an impact on Bank of America Stadium down the line. The NFL and the NFL Players Association have mandated the use of a new device to measure field conditions before regular season games this season, according to league officials. The development and introduction of what is being called the Strike device is part of a larger effort to create a universal guideline for the league's 30 playing surfaces, all while addressing a contentious issue between owners and players in recent years, that written by ESPN and Kevin Seifert, a staff writer for them.
He says those guidelines, NFL field director Nick Pappas said, are expected to be in place for the 2025 season. Pappas said, quote, "We're going to come up with our own performance specification document for the NFL field. Ultimately, it will be a regulatory document that says, hey, look, an NFL field should meet these standards. Right now, our standards have been somewhat vague, but because it's because we didn't want to just arbitrarily adopt something that could be long." Of course, especially those of you that are Panther fans, you know that NFL players have pushed the league to improve playing surfaces for many, many years now. Back in 2023, NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell called on owners to convert the league's 15 artificial turf surfaces to grass. The league pointed to data that shows a relatively narrow gap of non-contact lower body extremity injuries on natural and artificial surfaces, and instead has argued that consistency across surfaces is a more realistic goal. The NFL will roll out the strike system, but in addition to that, the league will continue to use their Clegg device, which measures field hardness before games. NFL rules require Clegg readings between 50 grams and 100 grams for a surface to be approved for play.
You'll think about it. You'll get it later. Continue. No need to go back. Continue.
Oh, no, I can't not now. I don't feel like you know how my bro brain works. Hardness. Got it.
Field hardness.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Bro with Lon's Bro here on the show. The strike device, built through the league's biomechanical partners, will provide different data that Papa said will provide a better assessment of field conditions and deliver a metric based on two energy measurements. The first is restitution, how much energy is absorbed by the ground versus being sent back to a player when he steps on it. And the second is deformation, the extent to which the surface dimples when it comes into contact with the foot. But only the Clegg rating will be used for compliance during the 24 season. The strike metrics will be incorporated into next season's guidelines and likely will replace the Clegg in the near future. Papa said, quote, "We believe that strike is more indicative than that initial puncturing of the surface, of how a cleat penetrates the surface and displaces infill or displaces sand or root material. This is what we believe will give us a more true value to what the player is feeling and a better way to measure our fields moving forward," end quote. Nerds run the world, bro. You don't have to like it.
I heard Clegg's, but they and do. Dimples and puncturing, and really what it comes down to, grass is better. Just put grass fields in.
That's it. Put grass fields in till you're one that's got to pay to grow grass inside.
You're a billionaire, man.
Oh,
I want to hear you whining.
Listen, if there's one person in the building who agrees with that take, you know you're talking to him. But I also know it turns out, and this is true, billionaires don't become billionaires by being willing to pay for things.
You know what they
want as much of their stuff paid for by somebody else as they can get.
But they also should want to protect their investment, which brings in money, and protecting your investment, which is the players, keeping the player healthy. And how do you keep the player healthy? Get rid of the artificial turf and put grass in your stadium.
If every NFL player disappeared tomorrow, they'd all be replaced the day after that. So they don't care. The product,
wow.
The product.
So every owner is a bad guy and doesn't consider people. They're just product.
All of them? No. The overwhelming majority of them? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Although Woody Johnson looks like he's a guy that would probably think that.
Woody Johnson? Jerry Jones? I'll tell you right now.
You spend time with Jerry. You know that's not true.
Are you kidding me?
He tried to get you to buy season tickets.
For like a 3-minute elevator ride, that's all he did. He didn't give a damn about me. I'm relatively sure had I turned my back long enough, JJ would have pickpocketed me. That's how hard he was trying to get into the wallet, all right? I'd have woke up the next day, finding out my credit card was missing, and I was charged for 19 Cowboys season tickets.
Rob got rolled by Jerry Jones.
Yeah, that's all he cared about, man. That's all he cared about. It was wild. I'm in an elevator for like 5 minutes. All right, not 5 minutes. It was like legitimately 2.5 minutes. It was a very tall building. Like 2.5 minutes with JJ. I told Jerry Jones no. And he was like, all right, but hear me out on this. Like, I know you said no, but maybe just buy a couple of hoodies for your friends. JJ, all my family's Saints fans.
Well, they wouldn't be if you bought them a hoodie, now would they, son?
That's a great point. By the way, the words of the day for this show are Clegg and Shake Weight, just in case you didn't catch it.
Oh, man.
I got to look it up because I still don't. I don't know if you explained it because I got lost somewhere in there what a Clegg actually is.
So the Clegg system, it is actually a hardware and software combination that they take out onto the field. And effectively what they do is they measure the, for lack of a better word, bounciness of the field, the give of the field. So basically they stick this thing on the ground and it's kind of like a... It's kind of like a reverse scale, right? Like instead of you standing on it and says how much you weigh, you push it into the ground and it says the field gives this much. It gives this amount. It gives this much distance, whatever. It effectively measures the softness of the ground, the give of the ground, so that when a player is racked into the turf, they will know, okay, when that player hits, this much of the percentage of the kinetic energy that is driven into the ground, this much of that kinetic energy is distributed into the ground, and this much kinetic injury is rebounded back into the player's body.
Are they doing that for all player types, though? Or are they doing a standard weight of that?
Because they'll get the measurement of the ground itself, and then they can basically do the math of, okay, if a 250-pound dude hits the ground, this much give, and if Bryce Young hits the ground, it's obviously half of that. And they go about it that way.
Well,
but look,
he broke a blade of grass.
At least Alonzo didn't say he's shorter than one.
Oh, no. He's taller than that. All right. Time for me to tell Rob what is Xing, and he will tell us why. First thing is Xing is RIP Sid.
Sid Vicious passing away yesterday. I actually did not ever see why. But
cancer.
Okay. Bleep cancer, if I may just say so. Sid Vicious, somebody described him yesterday on Twitter as if you had to cast a wrestler to be a bad guy wrestler in a movie, Sid Vicious is the guy that you would have gone with, and I would agree. The only other thing I can add, aside from the fact that Sid Vicious, or Sid Justice, if you prefer, was an absolutely enormous part of my wrestling history when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, is I will never, ever, 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 ever be able to get out of my head watching live when Sid Vicious's leg toothpicked underneath him, and I watched a man's foot face the wrong way other way.
It was not.
Oh!
It was. I mean, I'm getting the whatever those are right now. You're talking about that. That was rough. So
yes, it was.
All right, the next thing is Aixen. Next thing's Aixen. Daggum turrets is Oasis.
Oasis is Xing because Noel and Liam Gallagher are getting together for a reunion tour. Now, I want you to know, Lonzo, I would not buy a ticket to see that show because I don't think that show's happening. I'd buy a ticket to watch their first rehearsal. I'd buy a ticket to watch them practice together because famously, Noel and Liam Gallagher, the brothers of Oasis, hate each other, like fist fight, hate each other a lot, but they're going to try to put that behind them, so because Oasis will sell out Wembley Stadium if they play together.
They want money.
Yeah, they will sell out. The question mark here is, can they coexist long enough to get that paycheck? I'm not going to bet on that. I would not buy a ticket for Oasis because I don't think that show happens. I'd buy a ticket for their first practice to see who goes Stratocaster upside the other one's head first.
All right, the only song I can think of from them is Wonderwall, but I'm sure.
Because after all, you're my Wonderwall.
Backbeat, word is on the street. It's still one of my favorite lines of all time.
Fire
the drums,
your heart is out.
It was so cool. All right, the next thing is Xing is
sure
Sonic 3.
All, but you never even had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Banger, banger, right?
You should charge extra for the concert today.
I'm telling you.
Sonic 3 is Xing.
Because it's a movie that apparently we needed, wanted, and are going to
get. Well, it is Xing because Keanu Reeves is Shadow.
Well, that's how you sell a ticket.
Yes.
I'm right and, back in. Just when I thought I was out, you bring me right back in.
The trailer just came out, and they say, because I couldn't listen to it yet, that you can hear Keanu. as Shadow in the trailer.
Bro.
I know, right? And finally, Star Wars Outlaws is trending.
All right, two things. Number one, Keanu Reeves and Brendan Fraser, both American icons, both deserve to be celebrated. We should have a statue of both of those men in every city in America. Number two, it is because, I think this is why I saw it yesterday, a bunch of influencers got an advanced copy of this new game, which is like GTA, but in space. It's like Red Dead Redemption, but Star Wars. And the reactions to the initial gameplay are very mixed reviews right now.
They are, yes.
There's a few people that adore it. They say they're having a ball. There's also a few people that say it's very clunky. Basically, it's like it has a Star Wars aesthetic, and that's really it. Like, you see Stormtroopers, and that's pretty much it, and that's throwing some people off. The other thing I'll say is I found out that, and I can't remember the publishing company that made it, but apparently, they flew a bunch of these influencers out and like gave them free vacations before they reviewed the game. So a lot of people are like, the people that like it got paid to say it. It's very interesting development in the land of video games. That's it for the show. Back tomorrow. When we get back here tomorrow, full speed ahead into week one. We'll give you a full review with breakdown of the week one schedule. Have a great day. Don't drink or drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.